I'm pacing today because the allergies, I don't know if you're bothered by the allergies, but they're brutal here in the springtime. So I'll ask your indulgence with a quieter voice. I take as my text today the 23rd Psalm. Perhaps one of the most well-known pieces of Scripture is the one we got to pray in the context of our worship today. The 23rd Psalm may, in fact, be a masterpiece of writing. Even if you've never set foot in a church or a synagogue, I'm willing to bet these verses are at least familiar. They've been shared in movies and books, songs, and other kinds of poems. The 23rd Psalm has made it into the common lexicon of popular cultures in ways that no other part of the Bible has. This particular Bible passage holds a unique place in the minds and the hearts of people. Because of its wide appeal, it's also become a little kitsch. Let's be honest. For as boldly as it makes itself known beyond the pages of our Bibles, the 23rd Psalm has also sadly become the victim of sentimental ceramic statuary and soft-focused posters of sweet, gentle Jesus carrying a lamb across his shoulders. Just to be clear about this, a predominantly Christian reading of this passage from the Hebrew Scriptures tends to superimpose Jesus in the role of the shepherd. It makes some sense, especially on what we might call Good Shepherd Sunday, because Jesus himself called himself the Good Shepherd, and we get lots of sheep and shepherd references in the Gospels. But it would be an unfaithful reading of this text. The psalmist is not writing about Jesus. So as best you can, try to resist the temptation to look at this passage through the lenses of sweet, gentle Jesus carrying a lamb across his shoulders. Irrespective of the ceramic statuette industry, this short set of verses actually describes a very powerful experience of the human condition and our relationship with the Creator. The 23rd Psalm is a text of both fear and hope, of both terror and consolation. Above all, it's a passage that should empower us all to be all that God has created us to be and to walk confidently toward that which we are to become. A careful reading of this psalm should open up for us a new understanding of our relationship with God. So let's take this opportunity to consider these familiar words. The core element that makes this psalm so powerful is its universality. It starts with the first line, "The Lord is my shepherd." Right away, the psalmist sets up a relationship between God and us. Notice that there are no proper names used. It's all you and me and I and those. The 23rd Psalm opens the door wide for each of us to walk in and see ourselves in it, regardless of the year, of our location, or the contexts in which we find ourselves. We read that the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. The Lord is your shepherd, and your shepherd, and your shepherd. Oftentimes, we read about the Lord in the context of a whole community, the people of Israel, of special people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here, we have the Lord of each of us as individuals, the great cosmic God of all creation, is your shepherd. I don't know about you, but when I look at it that way, there is nothing I shall want. While this text paints a picture of beauty and peace, there is a disquieting undercurrent running through the whole thing. The waters are still in this place where the shepherd has led us. Churning waters are often used as a theme for chaos in the Bible. Waters like that flood the world. They wash away whole armies and threaten to sink fishing boats. One is given pause to wonder what the psalmist may be hinting at with the image of still water. Is this foreshadowing? We might be wise to hesitate going forward with the rest of this psalm. Next, the Lord revives the soul. Revives it from what? We're reclining in a green pasture with a lovely pond. We have want for nothing. This place is great. From what could our souls possibly need reviving? Something's up in this psalm, and it's a peculiar sort of love note from God. Let's look. Here it is. Verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death. The psalmist has buttered us up for this moment. For as universally understood and known as the image of the Lord is my shepherd is, the valley of the shadow of death is equally known and understood. Do you know the valley of the shadow of death? I do. I think you do too. We've all been there. This is the verse that makes the whole psalm so powerfully universal. The valley of the shadow of death is a place of despair. Those churning, chaotic waters that we were talking about, this is where they gather, in the valley. Valleys are places where waters pool so that it's hard to know how deep they are or what could be swimming in them. Valleys are where ambushes happen, where you are easily trapped, where you can't see where to go to escape. Valleys tend to close in and suffocate those who are trapped in them. We've all been in such valleys. If you haven't, you will be. Maybe you feel like you're in one now. The valley of the shadow of death is a hellish place to be. We could all describe our valleys in vivid detail and be able to speak of them at length. But that in itself is a valley of the shadow of death. When we become unwilling or unable to shake off the valley experience, and it threatens to define who we are. When I hear this verse, I'm reminded of a person who truly understood this valley and how it works to destroy us. Winston Churchill said, "If you're going through hell, keep going." This valley of the shadow of death is presented to us by the psalmist in the context of walking through it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. The valley, universally deadly as it is not a place in which we are meant to linger. I have seen far too many souls lost because they cease their walking through the valley of the shadow of death and take up residence in their hell. If you are one who finds yourself in such a valley, I pray, keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. For the Lord is with you. Now, if you're going to walk through that valley, you're going to need to keep your strength up. Have something to eat. In verse 5, the psalmist once again draws us into another place. It's a banquet of some kind. There's a table spread before you. Does anyone imagine this as anything other than a large table? I've read this psalm countless times, and I never get the sense that it's a microwave meal. I imagine a holiday dinner table, all decorated and fancy. I imagine the good china, and a table so crowded with all the fixins you have to eke your silverware out from between the edge of your plate and the gravy boat. It's a wonderful scene in my mind's eye, and oh, my cup runneth over. But wait, where is this grand table spread out before you? Look around you. You are surrounded by people who do not have your best interests at heart. This grand banquet is in the presence of those who trouble you. One would think that this would make for some digestion issues, but no. You are not walking through that valley alone, and you are not dining at this table alone. The one who guides you and protects you is there with you. That shepherd from the first verse has been standing beside you this whole time. Behind you, beside you, before you, and within you. You may eat your fill. Your enemies cannot approach you at this table, and it's killing them that they can't get at you. Bon appétit, mon chéri. This psalm is more than a moment in time. It's a perpetual story unfolding throughout our whole lives. There will be many valleys, and there will be many banquets. Your soul will be revived as often as you allow the shepherd to guide you. Even now, the psalm continues well after life is over. This relationship we had with the Lord began long before we were born, and will continue forever after we have departed. Psalm 22 offers the assurance of that in the sixth verse. You, beloveds, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The whole physical and literary structure of the psalm is itself a valley. It begins and it ends in grace. The high ridges on either side of the psalm are the green pastures and the house of the Lord. Just a little bit further down the slope, we have a pool of water facing a banquet. And then in the basin, on either side of the road, is the shadow of death and the gathering of our foes. Is our Lord and Shepherd walking alongside us the whole way. The power of this psalm lies in its ability to capture our attention and imagination. It is attractive in its poetry and generous in its use of simple pronouns. Its universal presentation of the valley, whatever that may mean to each of us, and its use of food as consolation makes this psalm approachable for anyone. The most important thing, however, beyond the commonality of fear and hope, is the unwavering, unfailing, perpetual presence of God with us and God's love for us. Because of this love and presence, we are able to walk through our hellscapes and dine without intimidation, and our future is secure, no matter what. With all these pieces in place, there is nothing else left to do than to keep our focus on our good shepherd and our guide. C'est la bonne nouvelle.